I see the Morrison government's announced a $100 million Australian Business Growth Fund. It's designed to stimulate SME growth, that small and medium enterprise growth, with private capital. We're joined by Peter Williams, who's a small and medium enterprise growth specialist and also the founder of the Australian Advisory Boards. Peter, thank you very much for having a chat to us this evening.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we go any further, all the polls and the polls continue to point towards a shortened victory. There was a television debate between Scott Morrison and Bill Shorten tonight, which people have overwhelmingly given to Bill Shorten. We're having this discussion now, Peter, about whether this is a good idea or not. But are we really having a discussion about a moot point? For example, should organisations like yours be going and having a chat to Bill Shorten, who more realistically, post May 18, is going to be the Prime Minister of Australia?
Well, certainly, I think I'm from both sides of politics, they recognise that they need to stimulate and help small business owners, because small business owners are the backbone of our economy in Australia. They're very clever, they're very inventive, and they're very creative people. And I work with many of them in an advisory capacity, and I chair a number of advisory boards. So any form of assistance can help them grow and stimulate their business, I think, is worthwhile. And I think both sides of politics may want to do it differently, but they have a recognition that the small business is the backbone for what we do in Australia.
Peter, we always hear, particularly around this time of the year, within this time of the political cycle, that small business is the backbone of the economy. But how come governments don't seem to care about the backbone for all those other days and months before an election? So why is, given the fact that it's a big employer, so it's a huge employer, it's a great contributor to even the not just the material aspect of people's lives, but their social lives, which having a job is really important. It helps people fulfill their life dreams. How come governments tend to forget such a significant sector for such a long time in the political cycle?
It's an interesting point, isn't it? Because certainly small business, you know, they create millions of meaningful jobs for everyone. I think there's around 5.7 million people are in small business in Australia. So it's certainly a significant one. And they take all the personal risks. They build their businesses over time. They bear the stresses of unrelenting challenges in their business environment. So it's important that they are looked after all the time, not just at election time. But obviously that's when the sweeteners come out, and hopefully the right type of sweeteners will actually bear fruit in terms of the incentives and for the business in the next years, so the next political cycle.
The thing I was going to ask you about that, Peter, is we often hear about these election sweeteners. We also know that politicians, regardless of the flag they're flying, often suffer very, very bad amnesia once an election is behind them. So even though we're talking about these kind of proposals, realistically, how are we likely to see them materialise in the event that the government is successful in getting re-elected? But more importantly, what's the possibility of being able to get them passed, especially when we have some people in the Senate who seem to be quite hostile to the business community?
Yes, well, that's the very interesting question. And I guess all we can do is we can keep lobbying and we can keep putting pressure on the politicians of all sides of their persuasion that small business is important. It's not about big business. It's actually about small business, medium business, people who have risked everything to help grow the economy of Australia. So I think we all have to keep putting the pressure on the governments and on the opposition and on the other side, and particularly where there are split parliaments, to actually do the right thing, to make sure that the considerations are. And that's why this initiative and a number of the Labor Party initiatives are very welcome, because they will stimulate, if they get up and go, they will stimulate growth and particularly support high growth companies.
Obviously, Peter, you're a great supporter of SME owners looking to get either business advisors or creating an advisory board. How many small business owners do you think are really aware of how important, I'm looking for a percentage here, how important it is to have that objective set of eyes that comes with an advisory board?
Yeah, it's a very good point. Advisory boards are very embryonic in Australia. They're much more established in America and Canada. And in fact, there's some very good evidence out of Canada where they surveyed 4,000 SMEs about the performance of advisory boards. Interestingly, in Canada, only 5% of that survey had advisory boards. But of that 5%, 80% said they would have one again. And the results were quite spectacular for those that actually had the advisory board. 68% increase in sales, 5.9% increase in productivity, and their sales were generally 24% higher than those companies in similar industries. So the number of advisory boards in Australia is certainly not known because it's very embryonic. Certainly, businesses use consultants a lot. But consultants tend to have fixed projects, fixed timelines, whereas an advisory board of external advisors helping the business have no vested interest other than to help the business succeed and grow and become thriving and outpace the competition.
I'm guessing the critical point, though, would be to make sure those people on the board had practical knowledge and understanding of the business they are advising, because you made mention of consultants, Peter, and I know even within this industry, we've often seen consultants who've had, they might have business degrees and they might have lots of other credentials that arguably put them forward as being ideal, but they seem to have very little practical understanding of the business they are advising. So when we go to these business boards that you speak of, as far as I can see, as long as they're made up of people who actually have practical understandings of the business and how it works in the context that it needs to work, then all good. If they don't, if they're just simply people who are experts because they happen to have a piece of paper from a nice university hanging on the wall, that doesn't necessarily produce the best outcomes.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think it's very important when businesses look to take on external advisors in a structured way, as in an advisory board, that they actually look for people who have been there and done it before, people who have actually grown a business. They've actually sat where the CEO or the business owner sits in the driving seat. They understand the challenges. They understand the risks. And so they can bring that practical, hands-on experience and expertise to help drive the growth of the owner. And I think that, to me, is one of the most critical aspects of selecting members for an advisory board.
It seems to me, Peter, the two big lessons I've picked up over the years running my own business is, A, every decision you make has an implication on your skin, the skin that you've put in the game. And secondly, one of the greatest challenges of all time is that you might be good at, well, I'm pretty good at finance and I'm good at giving people advice about how they build their wealth and whatever, but I wasn't all that great at leading human beings who were working for me. And that was a real learning curve. I needed to improve my leadership skills.
Yeah, absolutely. It is about leadership, and it's about a number of factors. It's about having strategies. You know, having that shared vision that you're creating, being able to not only have the vision and the strategy, but being able to execute it or implement it. And if you need, if you're looking to implement strategies, then you need people. So you need good people, and you need to know how to empower those people as distinct from being just a manager, which is task orientated. So that's one of the big takeouts for most business owners, is that their people management skills have to be first class. And if they don't, this is where, again, external advisors around an advisory board can help, because it can identify where the holes and the goals are in a business, in a medium-sized business. So what's working, what's not working, what do you need to do to improve it? Because quite often as business owners, we get too close to our own business. And so having external eyes, external perspectives can really highlight the areas for improvement. And then you can set about actually doing something about that. But there's absolutely no doubt that people and having the right people in the right spots doing the right thing and doing things right are the key to success and growth.
Peter, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, you're welcome.
Peter Williams, by the way, is the SME Growth Specialist, that Small and Medium Enterprise Growth Specialist, and a founder of the Australian Advisory Boards.